Good morning. We're glad you're here today as we continue our spiritual focus in 2 Peter in the PM. And in the morning, as you know, some of you, we've been studying through part of Paul's letter to the Ephesians in a series we're calling Above and Beyond. And the title comes from the doxology of praise that Paul goes into, if you remember, at the end of chapter 3. Paul had prayed based on Ephesians 1-3, the first part of the book, and the picture of all we've been given in Christ, that we've been redeemed by His blood, forgiven fully in Christ as believers, and brought together as God's temple where God dwells by His Spirit as we're built up together in Him. And remember, Paul in chapter 3 prays first for the Spirit to strengthen every single Christian inside in the inner man so that Jesus Christ might live in each of us, and then together as we grow to know more and more of the depths of His great love. And He wants us, Paul says, to be rooted and grounded in Christ's love, that we'll know more and more of the fullness of all that God has given us in Christ and all that God's character in Christ is all about. And folks, this is what spiritual growth is really all about. Knowing Christ intimately, growing to know more and more of God's love and God's power, that alone transforms us. Growth involves our unity, Paul has shown us. Yes, our spiritual gifts, we'll see. Our service together, hearing God's word. But at the heart of this is the God who alone does what He can do through His power for His glory in the church. And He does above and beyond what we think or we imagine. Now, we came to that turning point a couple weeks back of the book in chapter 4, verse 1, where we saw that growth is about walking worthy of the great calling that God has given us. No, not trying to earn our salvation. Of course, we can never earn our salvation. But no, growth comes as our lives, each of us as Christians, line up to match more and more of all of the wealth that we've been given in Jesus Christ, as we live in light of that reality of the great calling Christ has given us, and that affects every area of our life, which is what the second half of Ephesians is all about. And Paul has told us, remember, the unity God has given us as the church and as Christians, as one family, and early in chapter 4, one church with one God and Father who's over all and through all. So growth, Paul's saying, it must always be for us to grow that we grow together corporately in the local church and with the body of Christ. And that's why Paul, if you remember, dealt with core Christ-like attitudes that we must cultivate, like humility and patience and gentleness and forbearance. Because God never brings an individual maturity based on His word that does not touch our relationships and how we get along and get on with each other in the body of Christ. He never, ever does. And once Paul pictured that oneness, if you remember, in verse 7, then he focused in verse 7 on the uniqueness that we each have in the church with different gifts. God gives amazing grace gifts, spiritual gifts, to every single believer of all varieties, not covered here in Ephesians 4, but in places like Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of such variety of serving and helping and administrating and mercy and teaching and leading, on and on. All these gifts, and every single Christian is gifted. Grace is given to each. And he showed us how every gift flows from Christ's heart, the very core of who God is and His character. And he painted that picture based on Psalm 68, as he quoted that back in early in chapter 4. Christ overcame our sin, took it captive, Paul said, so that we're captive as believers to His love, set free from sin. He set us free through the cross and resurrection. He ascended in victory, but He did not leave us here behind in that victory. He left gifts behind. Amazing spiritual gifts that transform us and help us grow. He left spiritual gifts of all kinds in the train of His victory, flowing from His victory road. And the point Paul made there is every single gift is tied to Christ's victory over our sin in our own lives and our continual influence through each of us in the church as we use our gifts today. So whatever your gift is, teaching, leading, serving, you need to know, if you're a Christian, Christ is working through you to build up His church in His grace and to bring continual growth, continual change through the use of your spiritual gift. It's tied to Christ, who's risen, who's ascended, who gave us gifts. And as we grow together in the church, corporately together, as we each individually grow based on His Word and serving, as we're going to see, that's how we're strengthened. That's how we continue to be equipped and to be built up together and strengthened in Christ. And that's why Paul, we saw a couple weeks ago, points out the importance of the spiritual gifts and the gifts of God's Word that are foundational. Given through the apostles and the prophets who laid the foundation of the New Testament, and then the evangelists and the pastor teachers who currently teach and lead, God gives those gifts focused on His Word so the church can continue to grow in the gospel and mature. Now, apostles and prophets, we saw, were given for a time, so the foundation of the gospel and God's Word was laid and that ministry passed. But evangelists continue to be used to preach the message of the Word of Christ so that there's new babes that come into the church and then they can grow into maturity. Children of the faith who can be taught by the leaders, the pastors, the teachers who shepherd and nourish them and equip them for works of service so the church can grow. I like what this guy Upchurch said. He said, "The Christian, whatever his physical age, begins as a baby in faith. Nurture and education are necessary, which is sometimes," he says, "forgotten. Instead, service and training are immediately substituted for learning and understanding." And certainly there's a place for training and service. But he said the young believer, instead of being encouraged to profit from the means of grace and the Word and prayer, is thrust immediately into areas of service. See, the infant, he said, needs to grow. The child needs to learn. We don't send a boy to do a man's job. We don't put a child in charge of dangerous machinery. And it's true in the spiritual realm, true. Yes, it is true, as we'll see. The teaching is done to equip saints so they serve. Everyone serves. And that's the only way the church grows. And we individually grow. But what is crucial to realize and remember is that the growth and the equipping starts and flows out of the teaching of Christ through the teachers, the equipping of the saints. It comes through the Word of God, and that's the only way that we grow. Christian life involves change and service and good works, but at the very heart of that, it must flow out of Christians who are growing to know who they are in Christ through the teaching, being equipped so they can grow in the gospel. So what I want us to think in verses 12 to 16 about today is, what does this growth look like corporately, as a family, as a unit locally, especially as we grow in Christ-likeness and maturity here at Albany Presbyterian, especially for us and for our denomination? As we grow in love and fellowship and ministry and mission, what does this look like? But what does it look like individually, especially too? As we come to God's Word to be equipped in the gospel, as we each discover our niche of serving, as we use our gifts, and as we come together and we're served by other Christians, why is this understanding of spiritual growth so vital? Why is the teaching of the gospel so vital to spiritual growth? How can we be prepared and equipped, each of us, and be involved in that equipping even if we're not teachers? How does this affect our service and the building up of the church? What is the core of our growth? What is the goal, purpose, core purpose and goal of the spiritual growth of Christ's church? And how do we keep growing in it? MacArthur said, "The first concern of leadership should be the filled seats, not the empty ones." Now, we certainly care about the empty ones, but we're meant to grow. This is the core purpose of why we exist as the church and as Christians. Number one thing we see in verse 12a is prepare. The principle you see on your outline of preparation, the key word is equipped. And we've seen that word already in verse 12a. The first stage of growth that we must be involved in so that we grow and other Christians grow is preparation. And we see it in verse 12a, the idea of being equipped. Now, we saw Christ ascended. He gave gifts, and gifts to every single Christian. But Christ specifically gave the gift of His Word as foundational, and gifted teachers as foundational, and leaders for the purpose of the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. If you look in Greek, or look at the preposition "es" there in Greek, shows us this is not, if you see the Greek language, not, as some people have taught, that the pastor and teacher is given to equip the saints and to do the work of ministry himself, and then to build up the church so the church grows. That's not what it says. No, the focus is the pastor, teacher. He does other things, of course. And I believe this includes other Bible study leaders and other leaders. But he's given for the main focus through the teaching of the gospel to equip Christians in the local body through the Word of God so that then they are able to do the works of service. And then the church grows. So that through them being equipped through the Word of God, they'll serve. And as everyone is serving using their gifts, then the whole church is going to grow. And individuals are going to grow. MacArthur said the first purpose of the pastor teacher is to feed himself, then feed his people, and then lead them to feed themselves in the Word of God. I remember, I think I've shared the story, but it's a good one. This couple sat down in a Florida restaurant surrounded by thousands and thousands of oranges, if you know anything about Florida. And they couldn't get any orange juice. Why? Because the machine was broken. And sometimes Christians are like this with God's Word. If the machine's broken, they don't know. You know, we want you to know God's Word and to get it through sermons and to get it through the Bible and to be equipped in that, but also to know how to get it for yourself. To know how to study God's Word. And you, that's one of the reasons I teach through books of the Bible. It's because you learn how to study the Word of God as it is. Well, what does this equipping really look like? When a pastor and teacher leads and others teach the Bible and the gospel so that believers are equipped and so they're prepared and so that they are able to serve and do good works. Well, at the heart of it is the understanding that the believer, each believer grows in having, in knowing Jesus Christ, of course, through the Word. Knowing all He is, all God's given us in Him, and who we are more and more in light of that. So that involves a process of time where under the ministry of God's Word and the gospel and the teaching, their roots grow down deep into Christ. As you know His forgiveness, His mercy, His compassion, and are reassured of who He is and all we have in Him, and therefore knowing His calling on your life. Knowing the gifts He's given you. Knowing being equipped. The word equipped means to be healed, to be restored, to be mended. So that you know who you are in Him. And you know what your ministry in Christ and doing good works is to be about. And the point first is, without that growth through the Word of God, growth in Christ-like character, the gifts won't be recognized. And they won't be very effective. So first, a person must be equipped in Christ through the teaching, restored, knowing who Christ is and why they must serve Him and what the purpose of their gifts really are, their spiritual gifts. We can't be like the man who told his pastor, you know, he said, "I refuse to serve, Pastor. I don't know where this is going to lead me." He said, "I might start using my gift and I might end up one day as a missionary in Africa." Sometimes people, you know, go off some crazy ideas about the gifts. But you know, the reality is, this equipping is most likely, more than not, going to start, more than likely, much, much closer to home. In the church family and where that person is. As each believer grows in assurance and grace, where they are, reaching out with love and service, knowing who they are in Christ, and reaching out with love to people right around them. In fact, this is the preparation involves different Christians, each of us, growing to know who we are in Christ through the Word of God and the regular feeding of the truth so we're restored. where we are, knowing Christ, and we change, and then we serve and minister where we are, and God uses us. And often, yes, the world is not going to see the reality of this. It's not going to seem great in the eyes of worldly people. It's going to be very subtle. It's going to seem to other people, they're not going to see the power of what God's doing. But as we each grow in the truth, God's equipping us, making us like Christ to be able to serve and use our gifts. And through that, to be a part of building up the body of Christ and to build up the church and Christians around us. And the thing is, yes, God uses the Word of God to equip us mainly, primarily. But He uses each of us in the part of that whole equipping process. As we're prepared and equipped, we're able to be used to help prepare and build up the whole body. The main equipping's through the Word, but God then uses us as we grow to be a part of the preparing. And as I said, it's often in subtle yet powerful ways that Christ is working through His Word in ways we may overlook, and working through us, using us, equipping us, preparing us, and using us as a part of the equipping as we grow individually and we grow together. I read about this freelance missionary. He came to a pastor needing financial help, and the pastor asked him, "Now, what church are you with?" And he said, "I'm with the Invisible Church." The Invisible Church. And he said, "Well, now, what denomination? I mean, what church are you a member of?" And he said, "No, I'm with the Invisible Church." And he said, "Well, where did this Invisible Church meet?" And finally, the guy got upset. He said, "Are you even a Christian, you know?" And the pastor said, "Okay, that's fine. Here's some invisible money to help you with the Invisible Church." Because the church happens in the reality of where we are. Spiritual growth is real. It happens in the real church, where real Christians are growing in true teaching in the gospel, being equipped to grow in Christ, to be healed and restored, and face real problems as we use our gifts, where we are in service, and the church grows. And what does that equipping look like and that ministry look like? A couple whose marriage is healed as they're ministered to in the church, as people grow in the Word of God. A mother who's been grieving, who's comforted as she's a part of the church family and people are growing in Christ, in the reality, the nitty-gritty of life. A preacher, a young man who grows up to be a preacher, and God has used Christians around him and the Word of God, and as people have served and grown in Christ and loved Him, he's been equipped and prepared to go out and preach the Word of God and take that calling. God uses all of this in many, many more situations as we're equipped through the teaching of the gospel, and we do works of service, and the whole church is built up, and the church grows, and we grow together. The goal is that we and others be prepared, equipped through the gospel, knowing Jesus, strengthening Him to serve and build up the body. As one man said, teachers of every kind in the church have been given by Jesus to equip His people for works of service, to equip us in many different types of ministries of service. We can't be like this pastor who said, I'm too afraid to sit down, even though I'm tired. How can I sit down? There's too much to do. We get like that sometimes, don't we, as pastors? But the work of ministry is not dependent on any one man or any one of us. We are called to be about the preparation that comes through the Word of God, the equipping of all of the saints in the local body for the building up of the church, as each one is equipped and grows in Christ and uses their gifts, and we experience growth. There's a famous football coach one time, Bud Wilkinson. He was asked to define what a football game was, and you could apply it to footy or any football. I'm thinking of gridiron. But he said it's 30 people in desperate need of rest out on the field, watched by thousands of people in the stands in desperate need of exercise. And sometimes the church can get like that. But we don't grow when that happens. Mr. Holland's Opus is this older 90s movie I liked years ago about this dedicated music teacher. He dreamed of becoming a famous composer one day, but he doesn't have those abilities, it seems. Nothing happens with that. He makes an impact, though, that he does not fully appreciate in the lives of a generation of high school students in that high school. He never writes that musical opus or masterpiece he thought would make him famous, but instead he pours out his life over the years, over time, into these young people in the movie, like a redheaded girl who struggles to play the clarinet, an athlete who has no rhythm. A street kid mad at the world who discovers the beauty of his soul through music. But as the movie closes, Mr. Holland in this movie is fighting the budget cuts to the music program, and the music program ends, and so he retires. And in the last day in the movie, he's walking on his last day through the hall of the school, and he hears noise in the auditorium. They've all gathered in there. He walks in, and they're chanting his name in thundering applause. And the little girl with pigtails is now the governor and addresses Mr. Holland. Mr. Holland, we know you never became that famous composer, but can't you see it today? Your great composition is what was done with us, your students. We're your great opus. We're the masterpiece of your life. And telling that story, we think about the church and God equipping us and hearing God's word. Are we seeing the great masterpiece God is doing through his gospel for eternity, even when the world wouldn't say it's anything? But God's working through us in his church, through his word, through teaching we've received, through teaching we've given to others as we've grown. I mean, that's been one of the great things in my life through the ministry, is to see individual lives that God has transformed by his word. And it might seem like little things, but it's God working, building his church. Each of us is the music eternally, that great opus of God working to build his church as people are equipped through the word of God and restored in grace and serving, and lives are being transformed. So do not miss what God is doing through Christ and through his word, through the teaching of the gospel in your life and as you serve and as others grow around you. God uses all those things to equip us and build us up. And we may not see it as well now, but one day it will be seen clearly in the end when Christ returns. So don't overlook the importance of pastors and teachers and disciple leaders in Bible study groups who teach you and lead you. Don't overlook what you're doing if you do that. Don't overlook how God is building us up as we grow and use our gifts, building his masterpiece for all eternity. Don't overlook how God's doing that as you lead and serve. And don't wish you were somebody else. You know, you might have the gift of prayer, but you wish it was more of a public gift. But are you praying? You might be really good with relationships, but wish you were better intellectually. But are you loving? Are you serving? Don't try to be a you if you're a Ferrari. Don't try to be a Ferrari if you're a you. Or, you know, what is God doing in you in Christ to equip you to build you up? Number two thing, participate. Verse 12b, participation. The key word is edification. The second stage of growth we must be involved in to grow is participation. And we see it in verse 12b, edification. And the point overall here, don't miss this, is we're not merely to be receivers of gospel truth, but to put it into use. Pastor teachers, you see this, are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Pastor teachers and others who teach and lead, I believe as well, teach the Bible. They do it so every Christian will be equipped, restored in God's grace, knowing who we are in him, filled more and more with his love for a purpose. It's not like one man who told his pastor, you know, pastor, you keep telling us, you know, you're the pastor and we're all the ministers. You're just trying to get out of your job. But no, this is God's design. It's here in Ephesians. It's his model. Philip said ministry starts with the teaching of God's word. And this never replaces all the other ministries. But the teaching of God's word inspires those ministries. Provides the biblical understanding and motivation for those ministries as we grow in grace. So number one, we've got to do is we've got to learn. You see on your outline. Whatever your gift is, your usefulness in using that gift starts with growing in truth. Are you learning? Get in God's word so you'll know his character. You can't be used without that. Number two thing is love. Learn and love. Actively engage where you are. There's always needs around us. Always areas to serve. Always people to teach. Always people who need a listening ear. Always people to encourage. Always people to give to. The point is, each Christian must be equipped through the word. We need to grow in our head, right? But it's to affect our heart and our lives. We grow, but not just to be taught head knowledge,
but to know Christ and to be transformed by Jesus who lives in us so that we grow to be like Him and to do good works so that then the church grows.
Every Christian matures as they know Christ, become like Him, and this means being equipped so we are enabled to do works of service. And it's only, I know, as we hear the truth that we grow through the truth and then apply it. But apply it we must, as God designed our growth to only occur as we come together, as we grow to know Christ and serve one another and do good deeds out of that grace, so that everyone is ministering, everyone is using different gifts, as each of the believers in a local church setting are all being equipped through the Word of God, knowing their gifts, being restored, serving, doing the ministry, then there is growth individually and growth together. And we only grow as we give. Out of that growth in the Word of God, we give, and as we grow in love through the unique works that Christ is doing through each one of us. And the church only grows together, the local church family, in Christ's love, knowing that more and more deeply as every single person is being equipped, knowing their different gifts, all the variety of service. And then through that, we're edified. We grow in knowing who Christ is, the goal, which we're going to talk about. And we're built up more and more together in Him and individually. And as each Christian grows in grace, out of His love, changed in our character, empowered with His gifts, then more and more, as we're all doing that, more and more in that local church family of the fullness of Jesus is seen. As everybody's doing different gifts. Because we are given, remember, the gifts are all given out to different people to show who Christ is. To bring change and growth in Christ. It's the picture here of a child growing up. We individually are growing, but the church is growing up together in maturity. It's the picture of a building being in the local church, rising up block by block by block in Christ's likeness and in together. Through works of service in many different ways, with many different gifts, we know more and more of who Jesus Christ is. It's like Christ is the picture in the local church, and the colors that make up that picture are all the different gifts. People growing in Christ, expressing those gifts, growing to know the fullness of Jesus more and more. So we're taught to grow and then equipped to use those gifts so everyone is serving and the whole church is being edified. See, we can often, as Christians or as the church, become like the Dead Sea. You know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because it has no outlet. Where's your outlet? Where's my outlet? That's how we grow, as we are doing good works, equipped and serving and doing it together. And that's how we're built up. The Bible teaching is important. Yes, it's foundational. But so are the works of ministry of every single Christian. And it is true, as Christians have said, you know, the church has caught on to this, the modern church today, every member is a minister in that sense, as we grow in Christ. We're not to hog all the ministry as pastors and leaders. You're to share in the joy of it. And we all have our part to do in building up the body of Christ. We're all important. You know, if you're a parent of a kid or a grandparent of a grandkid, you know you have a great joy in your kid or grandkid, no matter what their gift is or how important it seems to other people. When they do something, you're excited about that individual. And how do you think God is with us? Whatever our gifts are, they're important. They matter. And we're not to be. Sometimes people think the church is like Christians are the pastor, the leader, certain people are out on the field playing, and everybody else is in the stands spectating. No. It's all of us on the field. Pastors are like player coaches and elders and teachers, equipping and leading, setting the example. So we all serve. And you know who's in the stands watching? Non-Christians who see what God is doing as the church grows. And God is glorified and people come to Christ. Number three thing is pursue. Verse 13. Enlarged is the key word here. Pursue. The third stage of growth we must be involved in. If we're going to grow, the church is going to grow, is verse 13, the importance of enlargement or expanding. Corkin said, Jesus doesn't want us just to be unified by diversity and busy with ministry. He wants us to grow up into Christ's likeness.
Maturity, but what is that? See, this maturity Paul's talking about is the goal of the church. It's what, for lack of a better word, we're aiming for. We're striving for. It's why we're here ultimately.
Everything else fits into this.
Now, we know in context, God brings growth corporately as a unit as we grow together. As we're grounded in the truth of the gospel, He gives gifted people to teach and lead, so every member is equipped and we're all serving and we're growing together more and more. What is that all for? What's the goal? Here's the goal. What we see about the goal is, number one, it involves a corporate element. Don't forget that. We grow together, Paul says, if you look there, we're growing together until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God together. God saves us in Christ so that we'll grow together into a mature man, and the local congregation into that mature family where Christ is seen in our character, in our attitudes, in our actions towards one another. Is Christ growing in us and us together? At the same time, within that corporate growth, there are individuals that are growing, obviously, as we're growing together. There are individuals who are growing in the faith. You see that in the unity of the faith. Here, this is the core doctrines of the gospel. This is not talking about our personal trust, but this is the faith, Jude said, once delivered to all the saints. We're growing in doctrine. Individual Christians in that local church should be growing in the unity together of the truth, of the doctrine of the gospel about Christ. And then in personal knowledge, each of us together in a growing relationship we each have with Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of God's Son, as we're taught and equipped through the teachers, through the preachers, through God's Word. And here's the thing, this growth is growing. It's never static. It's progressive. It's something we will only fully, perfectly experience, of course, after this life. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. But we keep striving, don't we? We keep growing through the Word of God, through God's teachers, through being equipped, as we serve together and use our gifts, as we're edified by other Christians, as they serve. And our goal is together we would grow to know Jesus in His Word personally through the doctrine and the unity of the faith and a growing knowledge of Jesus personally, the divine Son, God's Son, so that in the church more and more, in our relationships here, in the growth we have in loving one another and serving one another, as we're equipped and grow to know Christ, the church is built up and the character of Jesus Christ is expressed and experienced by us more and more, and we become more and more like Jesus Christ. See, mature here is literally this perfect man. It embraces the idea of full and grown, and it is ultimately descriptive of Jesus Christ. And who we have perfection, who is perfect maturity. This is the idea of the mature man. He talks about the perfect human being, God who became a man and lived perfectly in our place, Jesus Christ. He came and He was perfectly pleasing to God the Father. And He died and rose, and He gives us life, and He's growing us. He is that mature, perfect man that we look to in the church. He died and lives for us, and now we're His body, the church, in this world. And every single one of us, as we grow together, is to be aiming, as He works in us, to move from stage to stage to know Him in the Word of God. So that more and more we're perfected in our maturity, our character, and we grow to the measure of the stature of Christ. That measure of the stature, I don't believe it means perfection in this life, obviously, but it's a degree of continuing maturity as we're growing up that pleases and honors God in the church family and in us individually as we grow forward to that measure. We grow, we're transformed as the Spirit works in us. We're sanctified, we become like Christ. And God calls us all to mature into that character of Jesus Christ, becoming more and more like Him, the perfect human being. And the thing is, this truth we have in the gospel, as we grow together in it, we mature and we're unified. We grow together in those core truths in the gospel, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and that unites us. We grow in love until we come to the unity of the faith. So we already have that unity, Paul said back in chapter 4 earlier, but we still pursue it, the perfection of it, the effects of it. This happens as we know the gospel and we're changed by His grace more and more. This deep knowledge and full knowledge of Christ in the Word of God as we seek Him, as we study, as we seek to be obedient, as we walk in grace. See, we've got to be careful that we, the church, can get distracted. We don't grow by focusing on worldly things or our differences or our background, but by us together looking to His Word to know Him and be grounded in His truth and a unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. And as one man said, we have to continually do this. As new members are coming in the church and other members are going, we continually have to be taught and instructed. And the target is constantly before us to pursue this. And we care about everyone. Like Paul said in Colossians, our goal is to present everyone complete in Christ. Like the story of the Olympic runners in the Special Olympics, when one fell and the kids went back and helped that runner get back up and go to the finish line. We're in this together. We're growing up in Christ together, pursuing Him together. And we can't be like some Christians. As one man said, some believers seem to want to be spiritual Peter Pans. You know, never grow up, live in never, never land. Just sort of never mature and not change. And look, the thing is, we have to be looking to Christ constantly to change our thinking, change our attitudes, not remain content, not get to spiritual plateaus where we think we've arrived. Because none of us will until this life's over and we're glorified. We should never lose our zeal and know our greatest joy is in knowing Jesus Christ and continue to grow. And no, God doesn't want all of us to be academics or scholars, but we're to know God's Word. We're to be looking to the Bible to answer our questions and teachers of God's Word to help us deal with those things so we grow up in our knowledge together of the Son of God and all we have in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the source of our power to grow. But again, what is He? He's the goal. He's the target. We don't play the course. We play par. We play par, not against opponents, not against each other. We play the course. Jesus. He's the standard. That's the mature manhood and maturity Paul talks about. Us growing in Christ individually and as a unit together. You know, motivational speakers, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I'm going to paint a picture for you in your head. Where do you want to be in 20 years? That visualization. Where do you want to go in 5 years? What do you see your life to be about? You know what? That may be fine, but the fact is, we don't need a visualization of what we think our life needs to be about. God has told us in the Word. He's told us in Christ. That's the goal, to know Him. When we study about His character and how He ministered, and how He leaned on the Father for everything. See, as He lives in us, we're to learn daily about Him and to seek after Him. And He'll empower us to grow. Our job is to seek Him and to seek to grow and mature in Jesus Christ and to not grow weary in doing good. And number 4, verse 14, we've got to plant ourselves. We see the key word established. The fourth stage of growth is to be planted, to be established. And this fourth stage is really, in a way, if you look at those verses, verse 14, it's about the results that come in individual Christians where the church is growing, where people are being built up in a maturing body of Christ. This is the results. Individuals like this. As pastor and teachers and others lead and teach, people are equipped and serve, and everyone's serving, and we're growing in the unity of the faith, and we're being built up with a fuller and fuller maturity in Jesus. Well, then you're going to have individuals, like verse 14, who don't do what verse 14 says, but do what verse 15 and 16 say. So first, Paul pictures the negative of what to avoid and what will be avoided if the church is grounded in truth and Christians are being equipped and Christians are serving, and we're growing in Christ. Then he's going to show us the positive, what we ought to all be involved in, speaking the truth in love, growing up into him, Christ, who is the head. But first, the negative. He deals with the issue of instability. Our need for stability. Sadly, it's what's missing in churches sometimes today, and in Christians today, that as we aim for growth together, it's going to be made up of individuals growing with deep conviction in Christ. Knowledge in the Son of God, unity in the faith, knowing who they are in Christ, knowing what really matters, not swayed by all the things around them, like a ship on the sea, like an immature child. So he gives us some pictures here, doesn't he, of a child, immature, and he gives us a picture of a ship out on the storm, or even leaves blowing in a strong windstorm, to show us what to avoid. There's a couple threats. Number one, the first threat is internal. It's the immaturity that can come in Christians not growing in grace, and they're like this child that's unstable, and affected by everything around them that they hear, that they read. And the second threat is more external. It's the deceitful teaching and cunning craftiness all around us. The world's constantly bombarding us with. But the point is, those growing in grace and equipped to serve and maturing in that church family are going to avoid those things. He's going to do what he talks about later. So this picture, what it does, is we're not to be like children, easily swayed. How is a child? A child thinks, oh, I want to do this. No, I'd like to do this. I want this. I remember when our oldest son, Austin, I'll embarrass him, he's not here today, but when he was six, I remember he loved peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Loved them. Until his friend Harrison said, no, you can't have the jelly. I don't eat the jelly. And suddenly Austin, from years after that, never ate jelly. It's peanut butter. Peanut butter. He's since changed. A couple years ago. But earlier now. But the point is, this is the way kids are, right? Move on from this toy to that toy. Wanting this, wanting that. No roots. And moved by everything. And that's the way Christians can be sometimes spiritually. Affected by every idea out there. False teaching. Some new spiritual idea that they think they've got to need. Have. Because everybody else goes for that. And then they're never able to really help. And they don't grow themselves. And they can't give out to help others grow in the church. Because the growth comes as we're in Christ. Strong in Him. With strong convictions. Rooted in the gospel. Serving out of that. And we need to understand that these people have no discernment. And they're fickle. Unstable. Influenced by all these things going around them. And sadly, you know how it can be in the church sometimes? It's like a family. You know how families can be controlled by their kids? Sometimes church families can get controlled by the kids. By the spiritually immature. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. And the ones that are immature in their faith start trying to, you know, get their way in everything. And we have to watch out for it. We have to grow in the grace of Christ. God wants to be believers to grow up in Him and be able to be used by Him with commitment to Him, conviction, competency, to be able to be used by Him. See, the word trickery here, it was the word they used back then for a dice or a cube. And the gamblers back in that day would manipulate the cube. That idea of craftiness in the world we live in. We have to constantly be on our guard and know we face these choices regularly and we need to be planted. And finally, as we close, we've got to practice. Verse 15 to 16. This final stage in chapter 4 of growth is the importance of practice and experience. And Paul gives us the positive counterpart as we close here, speaking the truth in love. As we're growing up in God's Word, built up, here's something, no matter what your gift is, we're all to do. And that's speaking the truth in love. See, in context, it literally says here, truthing in love in the Greek. So, Paul's talking about us knowing this gospel truth, we're hearing from the preachers, hearing through the teaching, being equipped, but it has to be applied, fleshed out in our lives and our lips. Truthing it, living it out, and also as we speak it to one another, based in the gospel. Not our own idea of the truth, of what we want to tell everybody. You know, hey, I know the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth.
but growing in the truth and it being fleshed out. So here you see this imagery as we close with the body of Christ, as we're each connected to Christ, the head, growing up into Him, the head, through His truth, it being applied in our lives, sharing it, then we'll grow together in love. See what he's saying? We speak the truth, we live the truth in love. And the truth is lived out and shared with one another, and we grow. Each of us are growing up into Him, the head, as we live out the truth, apply it, that gospel we're growing in. Someone said there's a balance here, right? All truth with no love makes us harsh, but all love with truth makes us soft. We're truthing in love, in the context of love, living in the truth and sharing that love. And as we're all growing up together, what we see here is we are dependent, aren't we, on Jesus Christ. We have to stay focused on Him, each of Him, growing up into Him who is the head. No matter what our gifts are, we don't grow without Him empowering us. You know, the brain malfunctions, everything else does too. And we're dependent on Jesus Christ. So we're growing up into Him. As one man said, we're to have a body in the local church that is proportional to the head, Jesus Christ. Not like those bobbleheads, you know. Sometimes it's bobblehead, big head, little tiny body. Sometimes the church can be that way. We're to be grown to be more like Jesus as we're connected to Him and growing up into Him. And get this as we close. It's the connections we have together that God brings that growth together. We stay connected to the head, growing up in Him. We stay connected together like the ligaments that unite our different parts of our body, our joints. Those are those connection points as we stay together in love, as we serve one another in love, and God then is working as we're growing through Christ the head and growing together to love one another. He empowers us, and the body is built up together as it edifies itself in love. It's almost like, in a way, when this is happening, it's like the body just grows. It's like your teenager, you know, years ago. You know, he's eating us out of house and home. Where is he? What are they feeding him? He's just growing suddenly. It's like the body just grows up together in Christ as we're connected to the head, speaking the truth in love, staying together in those connections in the body, and we serve one another, and we know we all have a role that's crucial to play as we each use our gifts. We grow up together in Him in love, and we mature, and the church grows. God, folks, as we close, is not looking for our cleverness. That's what He's got to use for us to grow. But us to be faithful and to be close in connection to Him and to one another, looking to His truth, and He will build up His church in Jesus Christ. So let's look to Him now as we close and ask for His grace that we'll grow up in Him in Jesus Christ. Gracious Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your word to us, Your people, and this gospel of grace that we've been given, we've been saved by, Lord, that we've been brought into Your church family through the message of salvation in Christ. Lord, but we know we've been saved, Lord, to know You and to become like Jesus Christ and to grow together in love so that the body of Christ in each local church represents more and more of who You are. Lord, we know that comes through Your word, Lord, but also through the gifts we each have been given. And as we stay together in love, like ligaments that hold the body together, as we each do our part, connected to You, connected to one another, we know You build us up in You so that Your love is revealed, Your truth is revealed, and we grow and mature. Lord, we pray You'll do that, Lord, more and more through us here and other churches as well that honor You and seek to serve You. And we pray in Jesus Christ's mighty and powerful name. Amen.